Greetings, this is James Hill with As You Wish Talk Radio, and we have a simulcast going on the BBS network and eSETI Stargate YouTube, where you can actually come into the chat room and correspond with the people on the show. There's so much going on. I know people are really feeling the shifts in the energies. The Schumann resonance is off the scale. Contacts are happening all over the planet. People are having life-changing experiences. One thing we can count on for sure, an ultimate prophecy, is chaos, you know, and it's not a bad thing. Chaos sometimes is a good thing because there's going to be a lot of changes on every level. So I want to talk a little bit about what's happening here at the ranch lately. And so we've got Peter Slattery, and he's eSETI Australia, and John Vivanco with Right Hemispheric. He's been on the show. He's a remote viewer, and there's so much happening. I'm going to start out with Peter because Peter's been getting the most awesome videos of beings, of craft, of light ships like Merkabas, you know, physical ships that are undeniable. You can't deny these ships, and they seem to follow him wherever he goes. And because we're a Stargate here, they really come out, and he gets some great footage here. So I wanted to start off with Peter and talk about some of the, you can go talk about the photos or some of the video you've gotten here just recently.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of crafts coming over, especially the last three or four nights. So I got here about 2 weeks ago. It's been a nightly thing and a daily thing as well. I've seen a couple of things, but haven't been quick enough to get them. But we've been getting a lot of power-ups. There's been periods we're out there for 15, 20 minutes and we've had 20-plus craft just come over in all directions, circle each other, power up, do, you know, certain things. So I'm using a cool camera now, which is only about $800, called a Psionics Aurora. It's coloured night vision, so it's helping to bring out a bit more detail, get a bit more, reference points, and it sort of makes it look like it's sort of here when it's not on zoom at all, which is really cool to bring out the details of the ranch and the property as well as the craft. So, yeah, it's been crazy with that, and there's been a lot of visits. I think the second night I was here, there was green light beings coming, which were the lion beings. They sort of just came in, and they were these liquid green emanating light beings. There wasn't much to that. It was just sort of letting me know that they're about. There's Kazigul that I see here that you're well acquainted with. I see him sometimes as a orange light being, or flashes of orange light, staying in the main house. And also I got a photo of a lion being, which... big beard, got a robe on, and that was just taken from sensing them in my room, like I have in the past, just feeling the energies and taking the photo. So it's been quite active here as well as, you know, back home before I got here as well. It's been crazy.
That picture you got of that being, it looks like a cross between like Merlin and Spock. And that's the best way I can explain it.
Yeah.
And amazing photograph. It's undeniable. You look at it and you go, wow, that is a major being. But I remember we were doing some work earlier and they told us it was going to come to you, that you're going to get your photograph.
In 3 days. James said I was going to get it in 3 days, and I took the photo in three days' time, probably almost from the exact time we would have been up here in this room that night.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was almost spot on with the hours and minutes as well.
What, with those photographs, okay, so I know we looked at least one of those things, and that was Shiji back in Australia.
Yeah.
That you took.
Yeah.
How do you get those photographs?
Well, it's a mixture. It's a mixture, and this is a really cool thing to go into with the show, especially with the ridicule. They've been analysed by Jason Gleaves. The latest one hasn't. He's ex-Air Force and a UK Air Force and aerospace, and I've had other experts analyse them as well. But it's a mixture, John, because what's happening is sometimes, and this is the thing that a lot of people don't get, sometimes the crafts will land on me in my presence in a room, and it will be an overlapping. So I've heard somewhere, theoretically, scientists say that we vibrate, I think, 17,000 times a second. Now, these guys could be doing 18, 19, 16, just slightly out of what we are. And so the best way I can describe it is they look like an apparition. And so they're vibrating. Now, with the, some of the photos, some of them are really clear. I've got videos of the beings as well. There's a photo of the being in the window on the craft that I've showed you guys as well. But what happens, or what I'm surmising in talking to Jason Gleaves about, and I'll talk to you about with Khan's photos as well, is that I think the camera is, with the autofocus thing, it's trying to focus on what's going on, because there's something, all of a sudden it's seeing this room, and then in a millimetre of a second, you know, a millisecond, it's seeing the being, and it's going like this trying to capture it. So what I really need to rectify that is probably get a high shooting camera that's like at about 100 times a second, you know, something ridiculous like that. So sometimes I physically see them, sometimes they're in apparition form, sometimes I'll see wispy or just an energetic change like a mirage, and I'll take a photo and they appear on that as well. And just sometimes it's just purely sensing and energy. Now, the other thing that I went on recently with you guys too in our private talks was the case that they did in the UK where scientists, I think for like 20 years, they did the skull experiments, I think they're called. And what they did, they were different mediums and psychics and I think actually physicists, scientists were conducting these sort of seance things for about 20 years or 10 years. Don't quote me there. But it was years. And what happened was they would even leave a camera in the middle of the room and these photos would appear on the camera, which has happened to me before as well. Uh-huh. And so whether it's actually what, like, as I said, sometimes I actually see them and I'm taking the photos, sometimes they disappear on it. Is there a projection somehow put onto the phone or the camera, you know, when I'm not seeing it? I don't know, but some of them are like profile shots, like we're talking about. It's really weird, just like what Khan's got. A lot of them are like proper profile shots. So I think it's a mixture of how they happen.
I think it's There is a lot about that phasing in and out, because when we were looking at one that you took in Melbourne with the, it was like a, it had almond shaped eyes and it kind of poked its head in and back.
The video of the bed.
Yeah, that one was, when we viewed that one, it was this like bilocation event where they were there, but they were not there. Yeah. Right. And so they were phasing, going through this phase in and out. But as far as like equipment goes, when you take these photographs, like Shiji, when Shiji shows up in your room, or the cat being here, the Lyran guy, what are you just using your phone?
Well, it's the closest thing I've got on me at the time.
So you just literally pick
up. So I grab that. Obviously, like, I've got a camera sitting there. Usually I've got a video camera in my pocket.
Yeah.
But I'm not, sometimes I'm not physically like seeing them, so sense it. Sometimes I am physically seeing them, but I'm just grabbing the phone. So it's just almost like the quickest thing. It'd be cool to get like a proper small digital camera that can take multiple shots really quick. And the phones do that as well. I've got to teach myself to just hold my finger on the on the shoot button, because it will take multiple shots as well.
Because you know, that Shiji one that he took was really interesting, because it's this clearly defined, just almost semi-opaque transparent shape, like overlaid on the camera, it almost looks like. But that thing, when we viewed that thing, that was a being, a real being. So when we viewed it, that being took notice of all the viewers. When we viewed that, because it's, the consciousness is so broad and so wide that it just takes notice of anything that comes at it.
And I had someone there when I took that photo as well. So there is some, not all the time, but there is sometimes people there as well.
I was in the room. I stayed in that room.
Oh, you were there when that?
No, not when it happened, but but that room is they were so generous enough. They gave me their bedroom. They had another room when I was in Australia. And all this energy with like the wispies and lights, and I'm laying there in bed and pop, 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 lights going off everywhere. So that place is really charged. And I really think it's the people. I really do. The people are creating that, like we create our own vortexes. But I see over and over, the people that are getting the best photographs have some kind of a attunement, or like Khan, he spends 21 days in a cave, you know, with just water. And so he can see the other dimensions, and he takes his camera and pops and gets them. And same thing with Peter. Peter sees the energy because, you know, if you're spiritually advanced, you're, those are the guys who are getting the best photographs.
Right.
Sometimes you just get lucky.
Yeah.
You know, you just take a shot and it shows up in,
yeah,
in the film. But what I see, the ones who are consistently getting those kind of photographs and videos are the people that are most sensitive, the most attuned, that can feel a presence, you know, and then they catch it.
And you feel it too, like you were in a monastery thing, what was it, for 5 years in a Zen center.
Yeah.
And I did 3 years of very intense, like nearly 12-hour day remote viewing and meditation, and but it really was just a self-mastery part of the mix of the two, like, you know, leapfrogged me forward with that, so...
I took the shortcut. I just drowned myself.
You just died and come back in the soccer ride. I can see it.
Ooh. Yeah, so, but I spent 30-something years with lamas and yogis and things too, studying.
No, it's a lot of work. That's what people don't realize when they meet you too. It's just like it's the inner sensitivity work and the spiritual work that you've got to do and clearing up your own stuff and being neutral, loving detachment, like you say. So it is a journey to do that, and it's obtaining that and doing it in the public eye rather than behind closed doors. That's why a lot of monks, and it's not putting them down, but you throw them in a public scenario.
Oh, yeah, they can't take it.
It's very, so it's trying to master that in a normal society setting.
Yeah, that's why I left. Eventually, it came to the point where it's like, I don't need to be sitting on the cushion anymore. You know, it was more like you learn the most when you're out in the world.
One of the lamas that initiated me and gave me my name, my lamic name or in the tradition, he told me, you know, he goes, James, you can't do cave. You've done cave too many lifetimes.
Right. He
said, you have to do basic interpersonal relationships this time. And he said, sorry about that, but it's the hardest path.
I know.
Just to deal with, you know, society.
Yeah.
And the Palladians say that too. I go, you must look like monkeys, you know, the stuff we're doing down there. They said, we're in awe that you can walk through that soup and stay alive, basically, and not go crazy dealing with all the chaos and the nonsense and the psychic turbulence, you know, that's here on Earth. And they're in total awe that we're down here, you know, trudging through this stuff and instead of seeing us as less than, you know, they don't look at us that way.
It is hard, and it just takes work. That's all it is. And from my understanding too, the strongest have come here to help at this time, because not only do we have the human experience to deal with, but it's also the ancestor side of things within our epigenetics. Mm-hmm. We're sort of cleaning up all their baggage that's sort of stored in us from times ago, that we're trying to see what's ours, what's not, clear it for those that are open to it and recognise it. So it's quite, you know, amazing times we're in at the moment, and intense.
Yeah, it seems right now we're just going through a huge house cleaning on the planet, and especially in the leadership roles and the organizations and things like that, they're being, you know, the masks are all coming down, they're being seen for who they are. I mean, all you got to do is watch CNN if you want to see the crazy making going on. You know, it's I hate to say it, but there's these narcissistic pathological liars going on there. And if you're awake, you look at it, you can't watch it. You just go, I have to change. I can't watch this person, you know. But some of the masses are not awake, and they believe everything they're told. And I think that's all coming out. People are having to... It's almost, I don't want to say force, but it's not an option anymore. You know, we've got to step out of this social programming and all the lies and the deceptions. And I think it all boils down to one thing. Are you in service? You know, are you self-serving, basically, the two things? And I see people, you know, are you creating heaven on earth? Are you doing this narcissistic, see me, dig me, and give me all your cash because I'm entitled program, you know? And that's what we're seeing right now in these major organizations and the leadership roles. I'm just blown away at these people and just how vicious and vindictive and unhealed they are. And they're projecting all this out, you know, like... You know, like that Austin Powers song, like Daddy Wasn't There to Change My Underwear. You know, it's like, you know, Daddy doesn't care, you know, and for Trump, he's Daddy, you know, he's Daddy to everybody.
He's copping it all.
And they're just dumping on him, you know, but it'd be nice if people just own their crap and I always tell people when they go after these things, they have so much like vitriol, anger, like they're just vehement, like crazy. And you go, did he do something to you? You know, like, what did he do to you? And well, he did it to all these. He did it. And I go, well, how do you know? Do you have any personal experience, or you know, how do you know that's true? You know, and all they do is quote CNN every time. And I just go, well, how do you know they're telling the truth? Yeah. Like, do you have any personal experience around this at all, whatsoever? And they go, fine. They go, well, no. And then they have to, I go, look. This is your process, you know, this is your healing, this is your process, and he's triggering everything for you, you know, to process, and what a path to take. To me, yeah, it's like, right. Oh my God, you know, this.
And that's the thing that happens not only in that, but in daily life. It's like, okay, so you guys know this, we just moved into this house that's totally tweaked, kind of haunted, and these beings or whatever they are, negative energies, cause you to start, they pull on this little thread inside of you that is a weakness or a insecurity.
Yeah.
And then they amplify it and amplify it and amplify it. And I'm grateful for that. You know, well, to a certain degree.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for showing me what I need to look at.
Yeah,
show me what I need to heal.
Yeah, because, you know, all you got to do when that happens is just feel your body. You just feel your body. Mm-hmm. You allow that movement to pass, to do whatever it needs to do without reacting to it and going on a ballistic rampage like people do with, you know, what they hear on CNN.
Yeah.
You know, and you just let it go because, man, everything's going to – you're going to die one day.
Yeah.
What's the dang point?
Yeah.
What's that old saying? What is it in me?
You right.
Know, that's how you have to start out. As soon as you get triggered, you have to stop and, you know, stop, back up, and just say, okay, what is it in me that's being triggered right now? And, you know, take personal responsibility for that. And we just don't see that. It's
well, that's
sad.
The main part of, like, self-mastery is that was introduced for the R part of the brain, which sits near the pineal gland. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, the reptilian brain. Fear, lust, greed, negative acts, all these sorts of things. And it puts you on a loop.
Yeah.
And it was actually designed by the reptilians when they actually, from my experience, they introduced that to the human body computer. Now, they say that some say it was introduced 13,000 years ago, some say 100,000 years ago. It wasn't genetically part of us, but source allowed that to happen. And even these negative facets, they're a part of source. But from my understanding, it is a blessing because what it does is it puts you to a level of consciousness, if you recognize it, to think outside the box in terms of how you're going to deal with it. So it ups the consciousness from a self-mastery point of view, but it depends on how you want to look at it. Is it yin or yang or, you know what I mean? It just, and it can be hard.
Or it can be, what I see is we have a choice. We can be in reactionary mind where we just react to everything happening around, or we can be in creation mind where we're creating our own destiny.
Yeah.
And most of the masses are in reactionary mind. They're just reacting to whatever's thrown at them. And the music industry, you know, the movie industry, all that stuff, it's all fear-based. It's to keep you in survival, sex, and power, the first three chakras. You know, the songs, the shows, the things, it's all to lock you into the first three chakras. And you got to rise above and get into the heart and then get into the, you know, this is supposed to be love spoken, God seen in all things, and I am God when your crown opens up. And if we're operating from the higher chakras, these things don't affect us anymore. It's like we have to practice detachment to do that.
But, exactly, yeah.
But I see that over and over again, that most people are in reactionary mind. They react to the stimulus coming from the music industry, the movie industry, the news, the politics, all that stuff. And, you know, I'm waiting for some leader to show up, some fully enlightened leader to show up and just say, stop the nonsense, you guys. This isn't who you are. You know, why don't you be kind to each other and be kind to the planet? You know, where's that platform out there? You know, it's like.
It's not there. I mean, okay, so flip on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
You turn on Netflix and what they want you to watch is all laid out right there. And all of it is to drive you down into a negative mind state. There's nothing there there's nothing that I've seen programming wise that is high vibrational, that's inspirational, that drives us to another level of understanding about ourselves instead of driving us into the past, into fear. And that's what they're doing. I mean, we need to have this, you know, this is kind of an interesting idea, is to create some type of network or channel that is geared around high quality productions that they put on Netflix, but driving you upward instead of down, you know?
And they do have some new shows, like I think it's called Pure Flix or something, some Pure Channel. I don't know, I can't remember what it is. But the problem is that's kind of Christian-based, which I have nothing against Christians, but I think it should be more eclectic.
Exactly.
And you know, let's not just say, oh God, you know, Jesus told me this. Let's give another guy and say, Buddha told me this.
Right.
Kuan Yin told me this, you know, and have it more unifying, not again, keeping people in a box. And what I see, they keep putting people in these boxes, and the boxes are created through fear. Fear of stepping outside that box and fear of a wrathful God punishing you for stepping out of that box. And it's like, it's time to, okay, let's have a unified network. We're going to explore every religion. We're going to try to find the best in people. We're going to try to find the ultimate scientific achievements now that are dedicated to the awakening and healing of humanity and the earth, that are earth friendly or whatever.
Right. It's all social engineering, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's what they're doing on the negative side. Where's the social engineering on the positive
There's
side?
There's going to be a reprogramming.
Yeah.
Like that's even with me. First thing I do when I get up is gratitude. And then I put affirmations on just on YouTube. So even if I'm not doing them, it's subconsciously in the background while I'm doing computer work or getting ready for the day, exercising, Qigong, yoga, whatever I'm doing, it's just there, and it's a form of just subliminally reprogramming myself, and that's what needs to be done, because that's the program as well. That's brainwashing you. We've got to reprogram it.
Right. I'm on a computer when you open it up, it goes, "Hi, James, how are you today? You're looking great. I love you.
You're a powerful being."
Yeah, you're a powerful being. Did you know that you and God are one? You know, that God's omnipresent and you cannot separate yourself, and have the little pep talk, you know, in the morning. And then go out and deal with your day where you have no other mirrors out there other than your computer.
That would be good.
Like this place is one of those places that has that high vibe.
Yeah.
This constant high vibe. And so, I don't know, I mean, I find it like incredibly stimulating to be out here because of the earth energy, the land energy. Mm-hmm. And it's like all of that stuff starts within. It starts within the individuals. And then, you know, it's like the 100th monkey. At a certain point, when enough people want to change themselves, then it's going to fall like dominoes in every single direction.
And, you know, the thing about consciousness too, like one enlightened being affects thousands, right, if not millions of others, just by holding, because we all live in that sea of consciousness, that collective conscious, the unified field, whatever you want to call it. And one enlightened being, when comes into that, it's going to change so many people around him. And then now we have all these enlightened beings showing up here, hanging out and creating that frequency. And that's on an acupuncture point for the planet itself. So that's amazing. And then you've got all these, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh, up to 13th dimensional beings coming in to this unified field, adding their consciousness and energy to the mix. And it's just amazing when you see what's happening on the higher perspective, the energies, the conscious energy that's flowing into the earth right now for the awakening healing process. And I always tell people, focus on that. You know, don't focus on the chaos, and that's part of the healing. You know, that's good that things are changing, but focus on what's changing it. Mm-hmm. You know, what's coming in. And I see over and over people get caught up in all the drama and he said this to me and she said this to me and he did this to me and she did this and the politician is doing this and everything else. I said, you know what? All that stuff is being amplified. It's all going to implode on itself. Just focus on the energy coming in.
Exactly.
And align yourself with it, you know.
Just all you can do is work on yourself. And like, that's what I like about what you've done here and what's going on in different pockets around the world, is that the first thing to all this is working on yourself individually and just focus on you, because if enough people do that, then we can do it as a collective big. But what's happening here is you've got a miniature version of it being done on the collective. You've got you know, multiple people here at a time, people working on the same stuff, but they've still got their self-mastery, but then we're working cohesive as a group. And so that's, you know, people want contact, but they've got to realise you've got to be able to work on yourself first, and then we do it as a collective, as a civilization. There's two parts to that, and it's not easy, but we are doing it, you know. Like,
that was the dream. The dream was to create a template. where people would be living a very spiritual life in harmony with each other and nature. I mean, that was the template, and bringing in the healing technologies and everything else. And it's funny because that's what's happening now. All these people are showing up and they're bringing the healing technologies and they're focused on the higher consciousness and energy and the workshops and the teachings. And it's really coming together finally. It always starts with a dream and just sticking to it. Mm-hmm. You know, just, I have this dream and I'm going to make it happen, and being in service, you know, and things just work.
It takes time, but it's like every thought has a seed, and it's up to you what you feed it and how it grows. Because if it's beautiful fruit, it will be prosperous, it will have abundance, but it'll also be in service mode and it'll have the love frequency. If not, it will be, mm-hmm. It could produce fruit, may not, but it won't have anything like that, and it will be the opposite of all that. So the thoughts are the main thing that people have really got to recognize during these times, that be careful what you think and be careful what energy you're directing towards which goals. And you know, is it about, you know, people arguing, or this person said this about me, or that, or are you just focusing on you and just going full steam?
Yeah, your mission, your soul purpose, because we all have our own unique soul purpose, and some of us have a shared purpose. We have a shared dreams and goals. And that's what I see. He said he is the people where like-minded people are coming together, you know, honoring their own unique purpose and giving back to the whole, which is going to create a quantum leap in evolution in doing that. And I think that's where we need to go. And that's what the higher, you know, it's funny when we did that interview with the kids the other day, I was thinking about that. And I just said, you know, I said, they've transcended war, disease, poverty. They have replicators. They have free energy, anti-gravity, counter-gravity. They want for nothing. Their ships can go across the universe in a second, you know, and blink in and blink out. I go, why would we not want to live like that? Why would we not want to join these beings in peace? You know, what's the problem? You know, I don't see any problem in that. And these beings too are not here to be worshipped. They don't want to take you away from making your own personal connection with God, Creator, Spirit, whatever you want. They want you to make that connection. Yeah. They're totally empowering.
And that's the danger too. I mean,
yeah,
for a lot of people, just, you know, turning them into gods like we did in the past.
Yeah.
And it's an easy thing to do because, mm-hmm. you know, you see one of these guys come down.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Talk about this mountain right here. It's like, this is like ancient alien mountain.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's mind-boggling. I don't even have words for what goes on here.
Well, everybody thinks it's in the past. You know,
right.
The ancient aliens, everybody's has their head cranked back to the past. And or far away, you know, or it's dark, you know, or it's... And what's sad is that is the program to keep people offset.
Right.
But the thing is that it's happening now. It's not far away. And you just go within. You can contact all these beings because... Right. When you expand, the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness and all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse is right here. And when we expand in awareness, we start making contact with these other beings. And they're all in the unified field. They're just using more of it.
Right.
You know, they're more expanded in awareness. They're using more of it. You know, but if we run around with a camera, you know, and listened to Billy Bob was feeding his pigs and he fell down and looked up and there was a ship like 20 miles away and we're going to keep it in Roswell, or we're going to keep it, right. You know, everything in the past. It's like, come on, that's a distraction, you know.
Well, that's the thing, is that all contact. So the difference between the past and hopefully what's going to happen now is that in the past and how we live as humans, I mean, it makes sense in a 3D world that we're going to use our eyes for proof of things in order to react, mm-hmm. to save ourselves or to eat it. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it makes sense that most people are, well, if I can't see it with my eyes or with the camera or touch it, then it's not real. But that is what turned them into gods in the past, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In order to have true contact, when you go in yourself, you know that all is one. When you hit that place of all is one, that's where they want to meet. That's where they want to meet.
Exactly.
Because we have to move into a different future with them, not the same past future.
Yeah. it's sad, you know, because most people, you know, if you can't screw it, you can't make a buck off it. You know, it's of no value. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, that's the mindset of a lot of people. Well, how's that going to make a dollar for me? You know, how's that going to?
What do I get?
Right.
Yeah. And if I can't worship it and make a religion out of it, what do I? And they won't allow that. You know, the benevolent ones, that they did that in the past. The more malevolent ones are the ones that were self-serving. They did create, you know, all the bearded gods, you know, created a lot of religions. But it's sad. You know, we have to get out of that mindset. And I mean, they're family. They're our family. They're the greater family of man. They've been around forever. They're our ancient ancestors. They've transcended, like I said, war and disease and poverty and everything. And you know, they have that technology. To me, I'm trying to find the downside in unifying, you know, with these totally spiritually and technologically advanced beings. The only downside I see is if you hooked up with a negative one that was malevolent, that decided, you know, that wanted to be worshipped and had a laser in one hand and a book in the other, you know, and said, you know, you will bow before me, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's
we've
happened.
Done that. You know, yeah. We've already done that one.
Yeah. This is the journey, is the inside journey. That's how it has to change this time. It's like remote viewing. I mean, when you learn remote viewing, the way that it works, I mean, yeah, there's physics. There's some physics behind this, but fundamentally it is going to a place in yourself to know what's happening, right? You don't go outside of yourself to remote view. You go inside of yourself. And what that means is that you are that you're remote viewing. So then when we remote view these things, we know that we're one with them. Mm-hmm. You know, and remote viewing is actually this connection point.
Yeah.
In order to grow into that oneness, to know what it is, you know, in an exciting way. You can sit on a cushion for 10, 12 hours a day, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'll get
just as much now doing 2 30-minute meditations a day as I did back then.
Yeah. But it's getting out of your head. It's going inside and going in your body, and that's what has to be done. People believe the head is everything.
Yeah. It seems like with the remote viewing, from my experience, that it's giving yourself permission to allow to come forward what you know.
Right.
You already know the answer. It's there,
but
somehow getting past the self-doubt and the what if I screw up and I'm going to look funny in front of everybody and how can I, you know, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever and the stuff you write, I know I better get rid of that. And all the self-doubt and everything, it's definitely self-mastery and trusting your own inner guidance, basically. And I see the more you trust your own inner guidance, and don't worry about making a mistake. You know, in the beginning, you are going to make mistakes. But, you know, it's what I've seen is like, I think, you know, people ask me, can anybody remote view? And I said, well, everybody did it in our class, you know, so.
Yeah, everyone can do it.
They were nailing it.
That's how they got
too,
the funding at the Pentagon back in the day, was they just went in there and they said, we're not going to tell you what we want them funding for. We're going to show you. And from my understanding, from what they got, you know, these 4-star generals and different people that were in charge of the Pentagon funding and all that, they had them in a room. They all got like 70-90% accuracy on these very simple ones. And it's a very useful tool, because even when I'm doing guide sessions, when I'm connecting people in and getting them to do what I do, it's a form of remote viewing because of the techniques I was taught and then updated with you, learning what you were able to, you know, I was able to glean from you tools and techniques, was that it's multidimensional mind, as you know. It flows for you. You don't even have to think. It is.
Yeah.
And this is where I think even with a lot of the ancient techniques with meditation, they have been manipulated. Now, clearing your mind, that's cool. But people get mind chatter. Now, I always do a clearing beforehand to make sure that, you know, that nothing negative is coming through. But what's coming through, and that mind chatter, 9 times out of 10, is a higher self, it's source or guides or beings that you're working with, and they're giving you thoughts, symbols, imagery, epiphanies, ideas. This is the tool that they use, your thoughts, this universal language to communicate with you, but we don't take notice of our thoughts. And so it's training ourselves with triggers when we get triggered. Like this, everything right now is a war on thought. This is the pinnacle point right now, and they can, you know, these negative forces can attack you in your dream state, which unfortunately is a big thing going on, especially amongst the people that in our type of community. This is where the only way they can get into you.
Yeah.
But it's a war on thought. So It's just something for people to be aware of. Be aware of your thoughts.
I know how you can get
where
funding.
Where are they coming from?
You could get funding really quick. You know, it's just going to these leaders and just say, remember that girl in Spain you're with on your last trip? How old was she?
Yeah.
Okay, you got the check right here.
Yeah. Right. I remember you doing this, you know, in university.
Yeah.
You know, drawing
when you're
out
at the university. And I mean, you know, everybody has a past, but it's kind of interesting. But the
and they're using it too.
You
know, mm-hmm. these forces, they're using them as well. It's something that I've had to deal with, blocking remote influencing and psychic spies and
some of these people I just have. You can feel when they're trying to trespass on you, or they're doing remote influencing or whatever, and you get that a lot, and just being in this field. But it's like I have no desire to tune into their energy or feel their energy. It'll make you ill, actually.
Just energetically.
Not mine. You know, that's not mine. I'm gonna go out to my garden, you know, and play with the trees and stuff. You know, it's like, but you know, it is real, and people need to realize not all their thoughts are theirs. And and these other astral beings are always remote influencing you. You know, they're playing, like you were saying, they're playing with all your fears and unhealed issues and wounds and traumas. And in a way, I tell people, in a way, they are teaching you. They're your teacher, because they're bringing your stuff up and trying to manipulate you with it. But you can say, oh, thanks for showing me that.
Yeah.
And you can heal it and say, now go away, you know, and then call in the higher beings and have them take them off. But in a way, there's always two ways you can look at things, as a victim, you know, or a master. And and unfortunately, there's a lot of victim games going on.
Too much of it, yeah.
Yeah, and this is what really gets to me, is like, I watch the media and the politicians and everything play victims like a fiddle right now. And they're playing the race card, the gender cards, and everything else. And they are the perpetrators of the very things that they're...
There was something just go wrong.
Yeah, yeah. And it's sad when you see that. I go, when are people going to figure this one out? I said, and because the people are in reactionary mind, they give them the image, you know, of the slave and the image of the victim and image of the, and they create those scenarios and go, we're going to get them. And then they project all that on somebody that's probably innocent, you know, that's here to expose all that or on the positive side. And they use that, and then they try to dump all that energy on them, you know, and people need to wake up and just go, wait a second, you know, let's look at the real history of these different parties, you know, who they are, what they've done in the past, and are they really in our behalf, you know, you know, so it's, I don't know if you saw that your microphone just moved.
This did as well. I saw the chair fly over there before.
Yeah, pretty
the
interesting.
The other day in the house, when all the stuff came out of the bowl and it folded out in front of you and me with Benita, remember that?
Yeah.
That was crazy. But yeah, it's hard, like, this scenario, and especially with politics and things like that, it's like I saw a video on YouTube not long ago. There was just this teenager sitting in McDonald's or something wearing a Trump hat, and a full-grown man walks up, takes the hat off, and pours a cup over him. And I'm just like, what the hell? Like, what's going on to just make people do that? Whether you agree with, you know, your president or not or whatever, it's like that type of action is just...
What it is social programming.
Yeah.
They played on their emotions. They've hooked them. And they made, you know, Trump the bad guy, basically.
Yeah.
And so he's a very powerful white male, you know, rich white male. I mean, right now, that's the whole thing.
The whole thing, the target of the attack.
It's the big target. And so they're triggering that, and they're using that, you know, in a way. But, you know, it's like, I'm not saying he's a saint. None of us are. But really, he definitely does not deserve all of the pure anger and crap that people are spewing at him.
Well, he can't. I mean, so we remote viewed who was going to win that election.
Yeah.
You know, between him and Hillary. And so we got something so weird, and I probably brought this up before, but we've looked at every past election, you know, Gore and Bush or whatever, it didn't matter. We would always try to figure out who was going to win it like 6 months beforehand. So we knew who was going to win this election 6 months beforehand. But see, our data, the remote viewing data, was different than we've ever gotten in the past. fast. Mm-hmm. It was, we had Hillary Clinton, viewers were describing her like behind bars, holding onto bars and ballistically pissed off, freaked out, shaking. And Trump was, you know, happy because he won, right? Now, in the past, when we got like, let's say Gore against Bush, it was like Gore lost. He's upset, but you know, this data comes through that is the plan goes forward or it's business as usual. It's not anything like what we got with Hillary Clinton, right? So we knew 6 months beforehand that Trump was going to win. And because our data was so different, I didn't know this at the time because I never trust any political people, any of that.
Yeah, I don't trust any of that.
But I didn't know this at the time. He is out on the outside of that oligarchy. And that the Bushes, the Clintons, the Obamas, they're an oligarchy. And their sole intent was to drive us into deep poverty and total enslavement.
Make us a third world country.
Exactly. Make us a third world country. And Trump is literally on the outside. So if people can't see that at this point, and the media is controlled by that old oligarchy trying to take him out, you got to open your eyes.
Yeah.
If they can't see it, you got to open your eyes because it's really apparent.
And, you know, you look at all the, like, the collusion things and the obstruction, all that stuff. They kind of, they're going nuts.
Right.
You know, they came down, damn, no collusion,
but they still perpetuate what they're doing.
Still, we're not accepting that. We're not accepting our guy we had in there to take him down.
Right.
We're not accepting that because he couldn't take him down because there was nothing there. But and they're still going.
And it's happening worldwide, like with other countries.
And they've become shift throwing monkeys. That's what I see. That's all they do is spew out crap and no merit, no. You know, and I watch them talk up there, and I go, God, that's like pure slander. Mm. These are our leaders, and all they're doing is perpetuating the lies.
These are the people
and the slander. And you know, no wonder UFOs don't come down. You know, it's like why would you land on the White House lawn? But actually, they are landing on the White House lawn, and they're following Air Force One wherever he goes. There are so much, even Fox News had photographs of UFOs following, you know, Air Force One. And there's been several attempts people don't even know about to take down Air Force One, but it's not going to happen, not with that escort.
Right.
So you were saying earlier there's all these orbs at one of the Trump rally, like big orbs around him. And weren't you telling me?
No, it wasn't me. I heard someone saying something about that.
Yeah, they're seeing pictures of the orbs and everything. But, you know, it's interesting. There's a multidimensional force right now that's making sure things go forward and that there's a huge cleanup here and people get back to universal law and start being kind to each other and the planet. I mean, that's where we're going. And so it's these other people, I think they're short-lived with these new energies coming in. They're not frequency-specific, and they're going to implode. Their careers are over, basically, and they're all just on they're on the downward spiral, which is being amplified.
It's going to be a huge change, like economically, socially, education-wise. Like the way it's done in the Pleiades and other places, like when you come into that existence, when you're incarnated into that existence, your main thing is your sole purpose. That's what you do. And anything you want to educate yourself on, learn, hobbies, things like that, you're encouraged to do that, but you do what your sole purpose is. They've got drones and droids and robots for doing the menial stuff that we do here, whether it's cleaning, you know, like certain things that robots can do where it leaves those in the civilization that have got this form of consciousness to be able to go and pursue things. And so that's where we can go into space exploration. If we change the war industry into a space exploration, it's very much similar things needed to do so. But it's getting there first. And so there is going to be a shift. There'll be energy grids ripped up. We don't need them. We won't need roads. Mm-hmm. The food, how that's done, you know, places that have had environmental disasters. Like we can even change that through our collective thought. But it said they're going to be a slow sort of shift or it's going to be exponentially quick. But it's up to us how that's
can you imagine like turning I-5 into a cornfield or something? Yeah. And you could really, but because we won't need it, we won't need wheels. You know, yeah. People have a hard time thinking outside the box. You know, I tell them we've had the technology for a long time to run the cars on water, all the vehicles on water, split the energy. That's coming out now. We've had zero point energy, anti-gravity, counter-gravity, the space fleet and all that's, they're using that. NASA knows about that too, but they have the front NASA, the window dressing, and then they have the dark
NASA.
Yeah,
it's all theater.
Yeah, it is. It's all theater.
Yeah.
Because we've been going back and forth to the Mars and Moon, you know, since the 60s, you know, with, doesn't even take fuel to do that. And it happens like in probably minutes or hours, but you know, all that's coming out now, and you really think about what, how this society could evolve. But we're going to have a huge lift of frequency of energy to get to the level where we can deploy these kind of technologies.
Well, you need the level of consciousness to use it. It's like people go, yeah, how are we going to do this and that? How can we trust people with this type of technology when there's rape, war and this going on? And I said, look, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, we've got to understand we've got a higher level of consciousness. Poverty, disease, war, raping, murdering, all these things don't exist no longer because the level of consciousness will not vibrate at that because we're surpassed why people do that, why people have these needs. Like, there will be abundance and you know, for all people, but it's getting it to that place. And it was funny because Shiji said one thing to me one time, which is the Pleiadian I'm in contact with, and she did say to me, it was sort of a heads up, and I sort of laughed later when I saw Trump come forward with the Space Force.
Yeah.
Because she said, what's going to happen is that's going to be given to the people of Earth because there's white hats in there, but they're waiting for like a tipping point.
Yeah.
Because we think, oh, this is brand new. That's why he's done it. He found out about it. And he's like, how do I reveal this without shocking people? It's like, we'll create a Space Force. We've already got it.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant plan to tell people we're going to create one when we've already got it. Then you reveal it. Then you reveal the bases for our soul system.
Right. I mean, it's funny. We've known about this for a long time, you know?
Oh, yeah.
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 You know, they, it was funny, one time I was meditating and I was connecting with the Palladians and I was going, I go, hey, just give me a ship, you know, with a teleporter and a full bank of lasers and I'll take care of things. We'll just clean everything up really quick, you know? And I hear this voice come back and they go, this is exactly why you don't have this.
Exactly.
Because you haven't got the level of consciousness yet.
Yeah,
you're going to blast everything up.
Yeah.
I probably would too.
I kind of have a history of that. And that I have
don't
to
hold that against me, people.
But anyway, you know, it's like, you know, people don't realize, you know, they think on a whole different level and they have a whole different timing. They're extremely forgiving and they really want to see everybody make it and evolve and to the highest level. And so their timing's off, their forgiveness is much more expanded than ours. And so we have to be patient that things are going to go in that direction. They're just not happening as quick as we'd like to, but it does feel like things are really accelerating.
They're coming. Right now. It's coming fast. I can feel it. There's going to be a fundamental shift soon. It feels like we're right on the cusp.
Yeah, I felt all this foreboding energy for a while. It's just like pressing down
like
all the light
cooker.
Workers and everything. And all of a sudden it just went boom like this. And I go, whoa, where'd that go?
Yeah. And it's so simple. It's just going to be this ultimate shift in thought.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we don't have to do that.
Yeah.
We can create it. Okay, let's
we don't have to take
it
from others anymore.
Right.
We can create whatever we need.
Yeah.
Know? It's just like, hey, we don't have to compete anymore. What, you know, let's, you know, we can be kind to each other and the planet. We don't have to fear our neighbor. You know, it's like, you know, just, I think that's what's happening in these shifts because the higher consciousness is pressing in, is holding that kind of reality and universal law. And that's pressing in and everything else has to shift and change along with it. So we're hitting the end of the hour. We're probably going to have to wrap it up. So you've got your books, you know.
Yeah, I've got the Book of Shiji 1 and 2. The second editions are international bestsellers in four countries in like 24 hours. So people can get them at petermaxwellslattery.com or eCity Australia. And I've got two CE5 intensive workshops coming up at the eCity Ranch here as well. I'll be here for 3 months hanging out. And then I've got the big 4th of July conference with you guys and Barry Littleton, Corey Good, so many other speakers. A lot of them I don't really know much about or met yet, so it's going to be awesome.
And also Peter was the producer of the of the uncontrolled narrative. Definitely get that. It's on YouTube.
And Contact has begun too.
Yeah,
that was epic
awesome,
to do.
You know?
Yeah.
And help us get this out. You know, it's like send this link out to everybody. After you watch it, it's free on our website. Get it out there because there's a lot of shadow banning and a lot of interference on getting this information out. The first Contact has begun when we put it out. In the first 2 weeks, it got 28 million hits, which was off the scale. All of a sudden, this next one, we go to launch it, it's even better, I think, and bam, it's like...
Stopped at like around 130.
Yeah, it was like, wow, 130,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, like this, and so there's obviously something going on there, but help get these out. So you've got...
Yeah, I've got, let's see, I've got a workshop coming up.
16th to the
19th. 16th to the 19th. Book out, website, righthemispheric.com, or on Amazon, The Time Before the Secret Words. And I'm going to be at your thing.
Yeah, well, I've got to say with your
thing
too.
This thing is going
to
be cool.
I enjoy doing what I do and teaching people to, you know, the tools and modalities that I've gleaned. Yeah. But with your workshops too, they are, you know, I've been to remote viewing for a long time, not as long as you, but there was stuff that was brought to the plate that I've learnt in it that just hadn't been on my radar before.
Yeah.
So I think people that are interested, even if they do remote viewing, it's really worth looking into John Favanko's work because it's just extra tools. The more tools, the better. And you've got Contact in the Desert. You've got a workshop coming up here.
Oh, the UFO cruise.
And the UFO
cruise.
I don't know if I'd get seasick on that.
I
probably would.
I kind of want to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to like jump in James's suit.
I might just have you go in my place.
Put a beard on along
the way. Yeah, there you go. There's so much going on. It's all on the website. So if you go to eSETI.org, all that information is on there, the upcoming events. Peter just put up a new page with social, economic, and physical earth changes that covers all the Schumann resonance, earthquakes, the solar flares, everything going on right now, even the social changes. We've got Sir Patrick Mack on there and Jordan Sather and people like that if you want to keep up on the latest social and political things. But amazing stuff. I can't thank Peter enough, especially for all the work you did. And John, you helped a lot with the computer and to get all this up and running. But we're up and we're running. Come see us at the ranch. And we're signing off. James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. And again, go to bbsradio.com to see this, and go to eSETI Stargate if you want to check this out. And all the other past shows are on there as well. And then check out our bookstore too. We just got some awesome sweatshirts, hoodies,
hats,
beanies, everything. You know, so we have cups too with the lion logo on them. Amazing stuff at the bookstore. So check that. I've got four books actually now.
Yeah, four. Yeah.
And so there too, if you want to check that out. So anyway, have a great evening. You know, keep an open mind, a loving heart, pure intent, and that'll get you through. Have a good night.